It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
The different uniformed officers, law enforcement, all huddled around this area, some in mounted, riding mounted horses there. It started to pick up in the last few minutes, turned slightly more violent. There was some pushing and shoving, and as I mentioned, even burning of the flag there. Kind of tense scene that somewhat turned a little violent. There were some frustrated police officers. You can see they were dealing with some of the protesters that got out of hand. Again, this is in downtown Cleveland. It's not too far from the venue of where the Republican convention is being held.
Well, that's a little mini report on what happened yesterday. Sandy Rios coming to you live from Cleveland at the Quicken Loan Center. And, of course, this is our last morning to broadcast live. If you watched any of the reports last night, if you saw anything about the police, we've been telling you for the last few days here, the last three, 4 days, that the police have come out in force, and they've come out from all over the country. Just stellar. I mean, honestly. And last night, I think, you know, was probably the largest outburst, or yesterday, of the protests that have sort of broken through, but not really. And if you saw how the police dealt with them, it was just amazing. One guy tried to set an American flag on fire, and he actually accidentally set himself on fire. Just an interesting side note. And the police, you know, put it out immediately. They just took charge. They took control. And it's sort of encouraging to me, because you see that if they do their jobs, which I think they would, if they were just left alone to do their jobs, they would certainly do them, they can handle this. And what happens when they show strength is that the protesters back down. And that's what we've seen. Thank God for that. And thank God. You know, they didn't know that when these policemen came and volunteered from all over the country. They didn't have to come. And given the shootings and the killings of officers around the country, it really was an act of bravery. And so I just can't say enough about them. If I talk the whole show about my gratitude to the police, black and white and brown, female, male, showing up to try to allow the democratic process to take place, I would do that. So my hat's off to them again. Well, of course, everyone's talking. Well, at least Fox is talking, Drudge is talking. You should see the picture of Ted Cruz on Drudge this morning. Of course, you know, Matt Drudge, all through the nomination process, was so pro-Trump and would portray, you know, Ted Cruz with horns, or he would show him, you know, lifting his hands to heaven like he was some sort of a godlike character. And it was very offensive to me. And so you can't trust all the sources. And we're going to talk a little bit today with our guests about what their impressions were of Ted Cruz's speech last night. We're going to have Gail Trotter in just a second. She's a commentator. I was recently with Independent Women's Forum. You've seen her all over television. She'll join me. And also Ken Kuklowski, who is a constitutional expert. And Ken was there. He has written all about Mike Pence's speech last night. We're going to talk to him about that. And then Jeff Sessions will join us in just a little bit, too, to give his take on what happened last night. But everyone's talking about Ted Cruz's speech and his failure to endorse Donald Trump. And, of course, Newt Gingrich stood up after Ted Cruz spoke. And so here's an interesting little juxtaposition of what both of them said. Let's listen.
We're fighting not for one particular candidate or one campaign, but because each of us wants to be able to tell our kids and grandkids that we did our best for their future. To those listening, please, don't stay home in November. Stand and speak and vote your conscience. Vote for candidates up and down the ticket who you trust to defend our freedom and to be faithful to the Constitution.
I think you misunderstood one paragraph. Ted Cruz said, you can vote your conscience for anyone, who will uphold the Constitution. In this election, there is only one candidate who will uphold the Constitution. To paraphrase Ted Cruz, if you want to protect the Constitution of the United States, the only possible candidate this fall is the Trump-Pence Republican ticket.
All right, so that was Newt Gingrich, and Fox is portraying it as him cleaning up. And I mean, it's just amazing to me. Look, we're going to talk to our experts in just a minute and have a full conversation about what they think about that, whether Ted Cruz should have, in fact, endorsed Donald Trump specifically in his speech. They're saying that he got booed. I was walking in this morning with a woman who was in the hall, and she said they were also, many people were yelling Cruz. So there was a combination of boo and Cruz. So I don't know. I wasn't in the hall last night. So we'll talk about that and kind of see if we can make our way through what really actually happened and what, you know, maybe just flesh out how we should feel about that. Laura Ingraham did a great job last night. I learned some things about Laura I didn't know. And so I asked Adam to pull this part, kind of her biography, things again that I had not heard. Laura Ingraham, here she is.
My grandparents were Polish immigrants. My parents, they grew up in Depression-era New England. My dad, he enlisted in the Navy in World War II. My mom, she waited tables until she was 73 years old. My dad, he worked at his car wash. My parents flew the flag at our house, and not just on the 4th of July. And they scrimped and saved. My mother made my clothes. She wore the same winter coat for 40 years. Any extra money in our house went into the bank for our education. And we learned that there is dignity in every job. Every job. No matter what you do. My brothers, they picked tobacco and delivered newspapers. I picked blueberries and rake lawns. We did what we had to do. You see, my parents didn't believe there were jobs that Americans wouldn't do. In the early 70s, I was a little kid, and I remember watching the news with my mom at night. And one night I asked her, I said, "Ma, why are people burning the American flag?" And she looked at me and she answered, "Honey, because their parents didn't teach them about respect." You would have loved my mother.
All right, Laura Ingraham, that was, you know, of course, she said a lot of wonderful things, and she was just glowing last night. Of course, she was a Trump supporter from the very beginning. Laura was, even sometimes distressing to me, but she loved him, and so this is a great moment for her. She picked him right up front, and I loved hearing about her upbringing. I could relate to that, you know. It made me reflect on, you know, why so many of us feel the way we do about things. My dad worked 7 days a week when I was growing up. He worked 16 hours a day. Not every day, but many days, 16 hours a day. He never graduated from the eighth grade. He made his living by the sweat of his brow. His hands, his big, gnarly hands, looked like they'd been chewed by a wild beast. You know, that's how hard my father worked. And he finally owned his own business. He was successful, you know, small business owner. But that was just by the sweat of his brow and his hard work. My mother, you know, right alongside him. My mother made all of our clothes. My mother upholstered our furniture. You know, hard work was, in fact, this has been kind of a joke between my husband and I, because it's hard for me to We worked when we played. We were working. You know, we considered hanging wallpaper, you know, the fun of our, you know, we didn't do a lot of playing. That was our play. So it's just kind of funny. You grow up like that, and it affects the way you feel about life. You work hard, and you take care of your own family. You take care of yourselves. And so it was interesting to hear Laura say that. And I think in this country, because of the way things have spun out of control a bit, because things have been mixed up a lot, some of those values of hard work and self-reliance have been lost in the shuffle. And it was a great reminder when Laura was talking about her own upbringing. Well, then, you know, it doesn't just apply to those of us that had humble, you know, beginnings and parents who had humble beginnings. It also applies, certainly, in the case of the Trump kids, who have, each of them, been absolutely stellar. Who could say, and who could have known, that each of those kids would be so eloquent and not just nice to look at, not just well-presented and well-spoken, but substantive. Eric Trump spoke last night. Let's listen to what he had to say.
A year ago, my father was a businessman, but like many Americans, he simply could no longer stand to see what was happening to our great country. He could no longer stand to see special interest dollars dictate an incompetent foreign policy that puts foreign countries before our very own. He could no longer stand to see the words Christmas stripped from public use or the Pledge of Allegiance removed from our schools in an effort to be politically correct. After all, who better to implement common sense business approach to this country? Who better to apply practical solutions to the impractical decision-making of an administration that has bred a $19 trillion debt, one which goes up by $32,000 a second and over $2 billion a day. It's time for a president with common sense. It's time for a president who understands the art of a deal and appreciates the value of a dollar, our tax dollars. My father has revitalized rundown neighborhoods, shaped skylines across the country, and turned dreams into reality his entire career. It's what he does. It's who he is. Never have I been more proud to be my father's son. I am incredibly honored to be part of this journey of which he's invited me, Don, Ivanka, Tiffany, Melania, my beautiful wife, Laura, our entire family to play such an integral part. Dad, you have once again taught us by example. You are my hero. You are my best friend. You are the next president of the United States.
So that was Eric Trump last night. Another great job. And I think, you know, one of the criticisms this past few days by the media has been that no one has given a reason why to vote for Trump, a positive reason to support him. And I heard Charles Krauthammer say last night, he thinks it's terrible that people were chanting on Monday night, lock her up, about Hillary Clinton. It seems to me that when people come to Washington, they think it's a high value to gloss over and speak loftily about the worst kinds of stuff. And plain speaking is offensive to them. And I have to say that in this plain speaking way, Hillary Clinton has violated the law. She has broken the law. You'll see in Dinesh D'Souza's movie on Friday, Hillary's America, you'll see what thuggish methods she and her husband have used to enrich themselves, how they have stolen from the American people. And, it's not a campaign slogan to shout lock her up. It's not just a way of disparaging her character. It is the proper response to criminal activity. And so I disagree with Charles Krauthammer on that. I think truth is absolutely refreshing. All right, when we return, Ken Kukowski will be my guest. Ken is a constitutional scholar. You've heard him before. He's one of my favorites. And we're going to talk about what happened last night, and so you don't want to go away. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger, a group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org. healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
Jan Harper, wife of Pastor Bert Harper.
Sometimes it feels like I'm living in a fishbowl. You know what I mean? When your husband is a church leader, your family is constantly being watched. That's why we offer the AFA Pastor and Wife Fishbowl Retreat. And our guest speaker this year is American Family Radio's J.J. Jasper.
I'm very excited to be a speaker, and I'll be sharing comedy at this year's Fishbowl Retreat. I'm especially excited that my wife, Melanie, will minister to the pastor's wives. When speaking at women's events, she shares, if Satan can discourage you, he can defeat you.
If you could use 3 days and 2 nights of relaxation among people who understand your challenges, then join us for the AFA Pastor and Wife Fishbowl Retreat.
This year's retreat is scheduled for October 4th through 6th at the Linden Valley Conference Center in Tennessee. Get details at repairingthefoundations.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 300.
And we'll see you there.
Hello, Americans. From the Republican National Convention, I'm Todd Starnes with this commentary next.
Truett McConnell University is training students to love the Lord, love the Word, love the Church, and love the lost. Scripture is the foundation for everything they do. It's who they are, preparing students not just for a career, but to fulfill God's high calling on their lives. Truett McConnell University offers a wide array of bachelor's programs, some online, and they also have an outstanding Master of Arts in Theology. So if you'd like to schedule a visit to Truett's campus in the North Georgia Mountains, visit truett.edu.
Ohio Governor John Kasich appears to be missing in action. His fellow Republicans have been searching for him across Cleveland, but he's nowhere to be found. That's because he refuses to be seen anywhere near Donald Trump. Folks here in the Buckeye State say they are embarrassed by their governor's behavior. They say he has a responsibility to, at the very least, welcome Republicans to the state. A quick howdy-do is the neighborly thing to do, but the governor is lacking in both good manners and common sense. Even more disturbing is the governor's decision to ignore a pledge he made, a pledge to endorse the eventual nominee of the Republican Party. He broke that pledge, proving he is not a man of his word. He's not a man to be trusted. And in my estimation, any man or woman who breaks an oath should automatically disqualify themselves from public service. From Cleveland, Ohio, I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
If you love our country and love your children as much as I know that you do, stand and speak and vote your conscience. Vote for candidates up and down the ticket who you trust to defend our freedom and to be faithful to the Constitution.
That was interesting. That's a little bit of what happened last night that people are talking about. Ted Cruz spoke. He did, as I understand, an eloquent speech. And then at the end, the report from Fox is that he was booed The report from someone I was walking in this morning who was in the chamber was that many people were yelling, Cruz, Cruz, Cruz. It was a combination. I was not there last night, but Ken Kukowski is with me. Ken is a constitutional scholar. He's one of my favorites. He's a clear thinker, a great writer. He is now the senior counsel and director of strategic affairs for First Liberty, but he also was the legal editor for Breitbart. Breitbart. So, Ken, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Sandy.
Ken, were you in the hall?
I was.
Okay, all right, great. So then that's what I want to know. I want to know what your impressions were in that hall.
Well, in that moment, I mean, I loved Ted Cruz's speech right up to the end. I think it was a missed opportunity where it's the purpose of this convention, the purpose of every convention is to say, from the outset, we said any person on this stage would be better for the American people than Hillary Clinton. We've had our internal debate. This is our standard bearer. It was a time to say that now is the time for unity. Now, you can even say, look, it's no secret that Donald Trump and I have disagreed on occasion. But now it is this man or Hillary Clinton to be president of the United States. And for the sake of my children and their future, I would take Donald Trump any day of the week.
So that's what you wish he'd said. He did not say that. And many people are saying what you're saying. And in fact, worse, you know, Drudge, I think, has this, they're declaring on Fox and on Drudge that, you know, it's the end of his career in Republican circles. He'll never be asked to speak again. It's pretty dramatic. I was walking in with a delegate this morning, and she said that Cruz had a private reception yesterday, but hundreds of people came out for supporters. And that last night, she said when people, it was the New York delegation that began the booze. I'm telling you what she told me. And then she said a lot of people were yelling Cruz, so it really was a mixed bag. Would you agree with that, or was it overwhelmingly booze? Could you tell?
In the moment, it was a mixed reaction, but I think very quickly, as people processed what it is that this convention is supposed to be about, and again, that every convention, every 4 years is supposed to be about, Ronald Reagan almost beat Gerald Ford for the nomination. In the end, at the very end, Ronald Reagan endorsed Gerald Ford. Now, Ford went on to defeat. Ronald Reagan went on to get the nomination 4 years later and got elected. So I think while there was a mixed reaction at the very start, as it sunk in as to, you know, that we need to unify and we need to mobilize and get energized and build momentum, and then there was that what you needed to see is what Mike Pence showed us in his speech, making a constitutional conservative case, showing that Donald Trump, by putting a man like Mike Pence on the ticket, that Donald Trump is not looking to blow up the party of Reagan. He is looking to lead the party of Reagan in the party of Lincoln. And by putting an evangelical Christian who is economic, social, and national security conservative, limited government, Tea Party conservative, it showed that Donald Trump has brought conservatives to the table. And last night, I think Mike Pence's speech, which was a magnificent speech, that is the kind of unity that we need to see coming out of this convention.
I want to come back to that because I do want to talk about Mike Pence, but I want to ask you something, Ken. As I reasoned through this, you know, I was quick. Look, Cruz was my guy, and I was I hated to see what Donald Trump did to him. That made me very angry. But I very quickly declared to friends and people that look, this is a do or die situation. We cannot allow Hillary Clinton. Can't. So we've got to bring reason to bear, and it doesn't matter about all the other things. We have to, all right. But that being said, with the issue of Cruz, when you have a personal attack against your wife, and it's a very different thing to be called Little Marco than to be called Lying Ted. That's a very different attack. And when you have your father berated, so there's so much personal stuff that I'm a little torn myself. Did you really think that he was going to endorse Trump going? Did you expect that?
Politics ain't beanbag. And,
yeah, right.
And going back 200 years, I mean, Thomas Jefferson was called an atheist, and Andrew Jackson was called a bigamist, a polygamist. I mean, it's going back, it's politics have been pretty ugly. I think George Washington had it pretty easy, but starting right after him when Adams was, exactly, it's that's where, I mean, this is, democracy is a messy business. And things got down and dirty during the primary. There's no question about that whatsoever. At the end of the day, the question becomes, when we all raised our hand and said, will you support the eventual Republican nominee? I mean, ultimately, it's a question of, do you believe what this party stands for? And again, we have the most conservative platform that we've had in modern history. If you really believe that this vision is better for the country, elections are about choices, better than what Hillary Clinton is offering, there's no question, because I don't know if we are going to, for the sake of my children, I don't know if, and I say this as a father of four, I don't know if I'm going to recognize my country after 4 years of Hillary Clinton.
That's I totally can. That's exactly the way I feel about it, too. This is like no other election, and that's why I feel the way I feel.
This is the Supreme Court, Sandy. This isn't about the next 4 years. This is the next 40.
I totally get that. It was very clear to me right away. But the other thing I just want to say before we move on, and we will move on, it has to be said, as much as they, you know, the press, so many people hate Ted Cruz anyway, and it's an excuse, of course, to pile on him. But I have to say, you know, John Kasich is not here. Neither is Mitt Romney. Neither Marco Rubio is not. None of them came. You know, and they haven't endorsed either. So I don't. I think that point has to be made when a disparagement is being cast against Ted Cruz for speaking and not specifically endorsing. All right, last night, Mike Pence made his debut, really, on this stage and in this position, and you think he did an amazing job.
Excuse me. Sorry, Sandy. I think he did a magnificent job, and he showed. Mike Pence, for two decades, has been an unapologetic Ronald Reagan conservative. Economic, social, national security. He was for Tea Party before Tea Party was cool, you know, and is a Ronald Reagan hardcore constitutional conservative and an originalist when it comes to the Constitution. He put all of that on display last night, and I think it is enormously encouraging for conservatives of all stripes to say this is Donald Trump is being a businessman. He is making a business alliance with conservatives and is taking a conservative lion in saying, you have a seat at the table right with me. So I think it reflects very well on Donald Trump. And then Mike Pence, I think, smacked it over the fence. He hit a home run. He gave us exactly what we needed last night.
And when he stood up, he said, I'm a Christian first. That's what he said in his priority. I'm a Christian.
That's right. He has said, as he said for a quarter century, before he was ever elected to office, he would always say, I am a Christian, a conservative, and a Republican, in that order. That conservative principles for him trump party loyalty, and that his faith in Jesus Christ, he's an evangelical, born-again Christian, that his faith in Jesus Christ trumps everything. For him to showcase himself and say, and Donald Trump is willing to have a person like this a heartbeat away from the presidency and his partner in running the United States for the next 4 years.
Well, I do think that's very significant. He could have chosen, you know, Chris Christie. He could have chosen a lot of different people, and he did choose Mike Pence. And Mike did acquit himself very well last night. And I think, I always say, you know, speaking to Christians, because many of them are saying, I'm not voting, I'm staying home, I'm going to write in, or I'm not, you know, but I just can't. And I always say, I think, okay, I'm speaking as a Christian now. When Jesus said, whoever is for us is not against us, I think that applies. Donald Trump is certainly not against evangelicals. He may not quite understand. Not yet. He may not quite get that, and he may not, you know, his life doesn't reflect it, but he is not an enemy of genuine Christ followers. And so I think the principle is something we should listen to.
I was there several weeks ago in Manhattan, Sandy, when he came to meet with the evangelical leaders. I was one of the people that he met with, and he made it very clear he didn't make any pretenses. You know, he didn't say, look, I'm an evangelical Christian. He wasn't selling. He just said, you have a right to believe as you believe, to live your life according to that. I will be your friend in that, and I'm going to appoint justices to the Supreme Court who are going to make sure that your constitutional rights are fully upheld and vindicated. So we have exactly what we have now. For people who are skeptical of him, for people who are cynical, and look, you know, we live in times where people have reason to be cynical of anyone in government. For someone who says, yeah, but I don't have 100% certainty that that's what Donald Trump is going to give me? Well, I'll tell you this. You do have 100% certainty that Hillary Clinton is the mortal enemy of your Christian faith, of your right to be able to raise your children in accordance with biblical principles. And so if you're not 100% sold on Donald Trump, you should be 100% sold against Hillary Clinton. And this should be a very easy choice in November.
Ken, let's talk about something. You weren't expecting me to ask you this, but I have to, because I haven't had a chance to talk to anyone about that whole dust-up.
This is where people get in trouble. Go ahead.
That's true, it is. But remember that Lucas Crichel, remember, said, I'm getting off script because I have to speak from my heart, and that's what you do. Melania's speech, they made so much out of her words being the same as Michelle Obama's, and they were. In certain passages, the exact same words. And now I talked to a speechwriter just a few days ago, and we both agreed, this sounds like sabotage. If you are a speechwriter for Melania Trump, why in the world would you ever, unless you had a bad intent, pick out words from Michelle Obama's speech and write them in Melania's speech? That makes no sense, Ken. That makes no sense.
I have no reason to doubt the explanation that speechwriter gave yesterday when she said, I'm the person who worked with Melania Trump, and she was bringing me materials from people who gave speeches that she said she admired. And we talked through Michelle Obama's speech during that. She picked out several lines that she thought were very nice. I was writing them down into my notes and didn't realize in doing so, as I put it into her draft, that I was just taking Michelle Obama's words. So that's the explanation that came out. I have no reason to doubt that explanation.
You're a nicer guy.
She
than
offered
I
her resignation.
Ken.
Well, let me tell you who's a nice guy. And I'm so impressed by this, is that she then, that staffer, offered Donald Trump her resignation. He said that he accepted it as an honest mistake, that people make mistakes, that she needed to treat this as a learning opportunity in her career, and said, I will not accept your resignation. I want you to keep working for this family.
Yeah, he did do that, but you know what? I would have fired her. I just can't imagine. I can't imagine. Of all people. You know, the thing about it is, though, in Melania's defense, the words that were chosen are universal values. You know, there's nothing like, the ideas are not plagiarized. I'm sure it's very true, Melania Trump, what she said about her upbringing and her teachings.
I don't doubt it.
Like,
and she gave a lovely speech.
Yeah, she did.
She humanized Donald Trump. She showed, as an immigrant, she shows, you know, Donald Trump obviously loves immigrants because I am one. I came here legally. I went through the process to become a citizen. That's the kind of policy that he would want for the nation. I mean, I think that Melania, in every regard, was good for Donald Trump. And that's why I think the media is ganging up on this speech, because they're trying to avoid the substance of her speech and how it reflects so well on her husband.
Do you have any idea, Ken, with your gracious analogy on this, which is not so gracious as mine, why suddenly, like within 30 seconds of her saying, you know, ending her speech, they're coming out talking about plagiarism of Michelle Obama's speech? How in the world would they, know? Of all the speeches that have been given, you know, by first ladies or by anybody, why would they think, oh, gee, I think that sounds like, who would remember that?
Well,
where would that tip come from?
I think if you work for the mainstream media, you've been a slavish follower of Barack Obama from the beginning, so you probably have a transcript of Michelle Obama's speech pasted on the wall of your bedroom.
Think of it that you salute every morning, or yes, you might be right. Maybe you have to recite it. Maybe that's part of it. Ken, anything else? You were there last night, and there were a lot of speeches. So anything else stand out to you about what took place last night?
Well, I'll say now, speaking for First Liberty, of course, that's a nonprofit that does not make endorsements for or against president or any federal office. I will say that the theme of religious liberty, which is the mission that we have, and your listeners can check us out at firstliberty.org to see what we're doing fighting for them there, is the theme of religious liberty came so clearly through in Mike Pence's speech. There were statements throughout many of the speakers regarding constitutional principles and fidelity, not just last night, I mean also a couple of nights before with Rudy Giuliani and whatnot. I mean, I think it is so clear that Donald Trump and the Republican Party is offering a Supreme Court that will safeguard our First Amendment rights, free speech, and religious liberty, and that's so vitally important. Christians are under attack like never before in this nation's history. Donald Trump, to his credit, has called this a war on Christianity. He is calling it by name, and I am hopeful, thankful, and prayerful. prayerful that this will be a great day for Christians in November.
Me too, Ken. I think all of us are, because we're really at a turning point, at a precipice, and I think you'd have to have your head in the sand to not understand that. Ken Klukowski, Breitbart, and of course he was with FRC. Ken was on the front lines of so many things. We didn't even talk about all the things, the differences that you have made in this country, Ken. So thank you very, very much, and thanks for joining me this morning.
Thank you, Sandy. God
all right, coming up next, Senator Jeff Sessions. So stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
We are not allowed to have a U-Haul that comes to heaven with us.
Anna Marie Travers has an AFA Foundation charitable gift annuity.
The Lord has given us things that we can acquire, but you know, everything will stay here. And I'm so thankful for the American Family Annuity Fund, where we can give some to something that we so highly value.
Through the AFA Foundation, a charitable gift annuity provides a monthly income as well as a legacy of support for the American Family Association.
I cannot recommend a better person than they have at AFA to help you with getting your annuity fund. It was so easy.
Call the AFA Foundation today to find out how you can set up a charitable gift annuity. Just call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Is your success in life being stolen? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Unbelief is involved in every single sin. Why did Eve eat the forbidden fruit? Because she believed the devil's lie rather than God's truth. Hey, if you don't believe God, you'll never be a success.
Learn what real success can be like. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart each weeknight at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
Every good thing comes from the Father above. And aren't you thankful for coffee? With every purchase of American Family Coffee, a portion of the price goes to support the ministry activities of the American Family Association. Whether it's morning blend, evening roast, or any of the other varieties, every cup of American Family Coffee is delicious and supportive of the cause of Christ. American Family Coffee, now available at afastore.net.
Millions of people are asking the question, what has happened to America? Is there hope? What will our children and grandchildren face in years to come? There is no doubt that religious liberties for all men are under attack by those who want to completely eradicate God from our history and our future. On July 30th, we celebrate the 60th anniversary of our national motto, In God We Trust. This motto has been inscribed on monuments and on our coins. It's been boldly proclaimed in speeches from Presidents Lincoln, Kennedy, and Reagan. Our national motto is a reminder to Americans everywhere that there is hope for our future. Go to ingodwetrust.com to join the movement to restore hope across our nation. Get informed, get excited, and get your In God We Trust decal today. Say it, display it, and claim it. Again, that's ingodwetrust.com.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan once described democracy as a bus you disembark upon reaching your destination. Erdogan is now forcing his country out of the bus. In the aftermath of a short-lived and hapless coup attempt, he has declared a 3-month state of emergency, facilitating his purge of political opponents and consolidation of power. It will also help Erdogan complete his fundamental transformation of Turkey from a secular Muslim nation into a Sharia-adherent and brutally repressive Islamic caliphate. One of those political opponents is Fethullah Gulen, another Turkish Islamist who runs a global cult and business empire from an armed camp in Pennsylvania's Pocono Mountains. Erdogan wants him extradited on the grounds that Gulen was behind the coup. Washington is investigating those charges. It should also investigate and shut down Gulen's 150-plus problematic charter schools in this country. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Now, one of the things that
I have learned about Hillary Clinton is that one of her heroes, her mentors, was Saul Alinsky. And her senior thesis was about Saul Alinsky. This was someone that she greatly admired and that affected all of her philosophy subsequently. Now, interestingly enough, let me tell you something about Saul Alinsky. He wrote a book called Rules for Radicals. On the dedication page, it acknowledges Lucifer, the original radical who gained his own kingdom. Now think about that. This is a nation where our founding document, the Declaration of Independence, talks about certain inalienable rights that come from our Creator. This is a nation where our Pledge of Allegiance says we are one nation under God. This is a nation. This is a nation where every coin in our pocket and every bill in our wallet says, "In God we trust." So are we willing to elect someone as president who has as their role model somebody who acknowledges Lucifer? Think about that. The secular progressive agenda is antithetical to the principles of the founding of this nation. And if we continue to allow them to take God out of our lives, God will remove himself from us. We will not be blessed, and our nation will go down the tubes.
All right, that was Dr. Ben Carson speaking, and we never had a chance to even talk about that. That happened Monday night. And I have to say, there's really absolutely nothing about his statement that's not true. There's no exaggeration. Saul Alinsky did dedicate his book to Lucifer, the first great rebel. That's what he says. I dedicate this book to Lucifer, the first great rebel. Saul Alinsky was a dreadful character involved with the mob in Chicago using mob tactics in politics. He was asked in a Playboy interview if he had any conscience about watching the mob kill people. He actually watched them do that. He learned their methods, and he said, absolutely not. Just say he had no problem with that. He was a wretched character, and he was Hillary Clinton's mentor. Not did she just train in Alinsky principles as Barack Obama did. She actually sat at the feet of Saul Alinsky. She knew him. He mentored her when she was in high school, beginning in high school. She wrote her master's thesis. And he is the man who wrote his book and dedicated it to Lucifer, the first great rebel. So there is nothing about what Ben Carson said that is exaggerated or really untoward. He really spoke the truth. Now, I heard Dana last night on The Five, bent out of shape, but this is too far. See, this is what I'm talking about. People in Washington, it seems to me they become so filled with, you know, proper words that they forget to call things what they actually are. And when people do that, it's very offensive to them. We're waiting for Senator Sessions to call us, and I've asked a friend to sit down with me. She's more than a friend. She is. You've seen her on television. Gail Trotter was with Independent Women's Forum. She's a columnist, a writer. She's an attorney. She's really Wonder Woman to me. She has six kids. And she's an expert on the Second Amendment. Gail, thanks for joining me.
So great to be with you, Sandy. And you're a hero to me. So let me just give that love right back to you.
Oh, you're sweet. All right, so what did you... Okay, I have to ask you, but while we're waiting for Senator Sessions, what did you think? Were you there last night in the hall?
Yes, I was.
All right, so tell me what your take was on this. We're hearing from Fox that there were so many boos that Cruz... Wow, people are loud around here, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Oh, it's Ann Coulter. Okay, so I guess we'll let her be loud.
Oh, yes.
All right, so...
Very distracting.
It's hard to concentrate. So what did you think?
Yes, it's interesting because there's so many conspiracy theories out of there and talking about whether Trump was firing up the boos to create the cognitive dissonance and, you know, kind of the wrestling aspect of there's a good guy, there's a bad guy. And I just was thinking from a personal level, it must have been very hard for Cruz to come up there and give that speech and know that in his heart he felt like he could do a better job to lead America forward out of the fundamental transformation of President Obama and his administration. So I think just like the empathy of him coming out there, wanting to address the American people, wanting to address the Republican Party, and it took a lot of courage. Whether you agree with his message or not, it was definitely a courageous thing to go out there and talk that way and hear all of those boos.
Did you think that someone told me this morning walking in that part of those boos were people shouting Cruz? What did your ears hear? I don't know.
I didn't hear anybody shouting Cruz.
Okay, so you heard boos, and was it a lot of people? I know
it's
it started with a new
tell. Okay, it's hard to tell because in any situation like that, an arena, it's very hard to tell where the noise is coming from. But it was definitely a negative reaction. And he stood firm to what he was saying. And I think that the expectation of the crowd was that it was going to be this dramatic reveal where he was going to endorse Donald Trump. And they kept waiting for it for it.
And when
and
he
so
didn't
the
do
anticipation
it.
Was building yeah. in the arena. And then I think people's emotion about it just overflowed.
Yeah. I mean, when it started, he got like a minute standing ovation. People
right.
just really
yes.
warmly welcomed
came
him.
In
so
on
it was
a high.
Really, it really was the yin and the yang.
Yes, yeah.
I do think it has to be noted, and I said this a little bit earlier, that the other Republican candidates have not. If you think that's bad, they're all equal. They're all guilty. John Kasich, except for Chris Christie. John Kasich didn't even come to the convention.
Right.
He's right here. I just saw him in Cleveland, Gail. So he's right here, but he refused to come.
Right. And the thing is, is it better to be John Kasich and to be in Cleveland and not to come speak at the convention at all, or to do what Cruz did?
Or even be on the stage and welcome people
yes.
to your city or anything.
Right,
just
right.
That's just, talk about rude.
Right. I was speaking with the Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor yesterday of Ohio, and she was a Kasich delegate because all of Ohio's delegates went
yeah,
for Kasich.
I heard that.
And it was interesting because we were talking to her and asked her about what do you think about Kasich not being here? And her answer was, he's here. He's in Cleveland. Like, oh, that's completely missing the point. He's not in the hall. He's not a public part of this very important gathering of Republicans.
I don't know the answer to this. Did Marco Rubio endorse Donald Trump in his video?
I don't remember.
All right. Well, I know somebody that would know, and he just joined us. Senator Jeff Sessions has just come from an event this morning. And so he's joined us. Good morning, Senator Sessions.
Sandy, good to be with you.
Oh, thank you so much. I know you're so busy, and it's always an honor, especially right now, because you've been on the the Trump team for a long time. You spoke Monday night, and you've been right in the thick of things. I would really like to know, I know that you like Senator Cruz as a person, and you love some of the things that he's done. How did you feel about what happened last night with his not endorsing Donald Trump?
Well, you know, I think it was a mistake. We've been out, you know, and I hadn't seen him. If I'd known, I just felt like I wish I'd talked to him some more before this had happened. So it wasn't good for Ted. But Sandy, I saw some polling data recently that just showed the Republicans have united behind Trump, real voters, the people that will decide the next election, in very high numbers. So I feel very good about our party being united. But, you know, when you're in a race and you're in these tough, tough races, and this is a tough race, you know, there was 16 of them dispatched. Ted was the last one standing. So he ran a tough race, a good race. And, gosh, I wish he could have gotten on board last night. Hopefully he will as time goes by. Because when you look at the danger to the federal judiciary, we've got the court is split right now, 4-4, I bet. And as soon as the next president is elected, they're going to nominate the fifth vote, the swing vote on the Supreme Court. If we lose Scalia's seat and have that replaced by liberal, it would just be a disaster. And so then you got taxes, regulations, Obamacare, Common Core, all these things that we care about, Trump's on the right side of. And so we just have, you know, I believe we can unite our party and do the right thing. And I think, and hope that Ted will be able to come around before long and be on board.
Yeah. As you've been advising Trump, of course, from my perspective, your expertise is on the trade issues, on the TPP, which has been such a fight. And also on immigration issues where you have been a champion. And so I just can imagine the conversations that you've had with Donald Trump. And that's one of the reasons I have had found comfort. You know, he wasn't my first choice, but I knew that you were sitting right there talking to him. As you see this thing moving, and if you see Donald Trump elected as president of the United States, do you, I know this is an unfair question, but what role do you think you might play, Senator Sessions? I sound like the other TV pundits, but and I don't mean to be. I really do wonder what, you know, what you're, because you have a lot of expertise. What would you like to hone in on?
Sandy, I just have not thought about that, and I'm not asked for anything. And I want to help him be successful. His instincts and his positions are correct. I've studied the trade issue. I've been supportive of most of these trade agreements, but they're not coming. They're not coming close to what was promised for. I think we've not negotiated a good trade deal. It's hurting American manufacturing and production, reducing good-paying jobs for middle class. And as I said before the convention, we have to know, Republicans, that median income in America is down $4,000 since 1999. Middle class, the number of people in the middle class is declining. Now, this is a catastrophe. These are great Americans that are struggling. Their children are having a hard time. They get laid off in their 50s. It's hard to find another job. So we need to be sensitive to that and battle for that. Immigration, we need to end the laws. That's a perfectly moral, responsible thing. A nation state should have a lawful system of immigration, and it should protect the interests of the American people. That's perfectly good and fine and decent to do. Every nation, to my knowledge, seeks to do that. And then we ought to ask, how can we have an immigration flow that's most beneficial to America? How can we identify people that are going to be most successful in America and flourish in America and create a much, much better policy than we have there for legal immigration? And frankly, the numbers are so high. We have 1.1 million people given permanent citizen residence in the United States, a guaranteed path to citizenship. We have 700,000 guest workers, people here just to take jobs. And those are, over half of them are not agricultural seasonal workers, but full, you know, taking real jobs. And we don't have enough jobs now for America. So
no,
I think it's bad. Trump's policies will be good for the middle class.
You know, I don't need to tell you that the Chamber of Commerce has had sort of an unholy alliance with the Republican leadership and our Democrats, too. I mean, they've sort of, you know, it's really been a disgrace, honestly. An alliance that has worked against the middle class in the United States, you know, losing jobs, having wages go down, and this notion that somehow we can become, you know, international, we can do trade, or whatever the lofty, noble terms they give to it. I heard yesterday, but I didn't have a chance to corroborate this. I heard yesterday that the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is endorsing Hillary Clinton. I don't know. Do you know anything about that, Senator Sessions?
I have not heard that. I certainly think that would be a colossal disaster for them, and don't think it would happen, but they definitely whole hog into these big trade agreements, and they want more workers coming in, and it doesn't bother them one bit that wages go down. In fact, they like low wages. When they read the Wall Street Journal and it says wages are going up, they think that's bad. I mean, how stupid is that from American foreign policy? I mean, we want wages up for America, for goodness sake. Who do we represent? And we got the lowest percentage of Americans today working. Forced participation rate is the lowest in 40 years. That's much more valuable number than unemployment rate, which is a muddled number. The percentage of people with jobs in the working ages is the lowest we've ever had.
It's amazing, and I guess my hope is, you know, the Chamber of Commerce and major business and corporations have been bad. They have been bad to the middle class in America, but we have so many small businesses, and I'm hoping that they listen, Senator Sessions, and that they represent more Americans who will do the right thing in November and get this country turned around. Well, we appreciate always the part that you have played in preserving the nations, and so you know, I'm still optimistic, Senator Sessions. Are you? We're almost out of time here, so you have to answer in 30 seconds.
Yes, I'm optimistic.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.